Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, What If? Week 2, What If We Walked in Faith, Not Fear? Part 1. Let's listen in.
We're jumping into this sermon called What If? And last week, I'm just going to share a little bit of recap from last week because I think it's interesting. If we miss it, we miss it. And I'm not going to have you stand, but I'm going to read this verse that says, Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever. Amen." This whole series called What If is about what if possibilities. I wrote this down. It says, it's a powerful little word, the word if. Some people are stuck in the if only, trudging through their lives marked with regret, pain, shame. But God wants us to live lives marked with possibilities, with the what if attitude of possibilities, not the worst case scenario. In scripture, the word if is actually used as a kind of a conjunction 1,784 times. For instance, it's usually connected with the words if and then. So for instance, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. Because it's if this happens, then this would happen. It's not if you don't do this. It's more like you understand if you do this, here's something that happens, and then there's a promise that follows after you do this. It's followed by a promise. So last week, the verse I used was, if God is for us, then what? Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's what we talked about last week. Last week, I talked about a basketball player named Stacey King. And I'm not sure if you can put that picture up. Stacey King, when he played with Mike, most people don't know who this guy is. But Mike, he played with the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan, if you don't know, he's number one basketball player of all time. And what's cool about it, at this one playoff game, Michael Jordan scored almost a career high on a playoff game of 69 points. This guy, Stacey, he scored one. He went to the free throw one time and he made the basket. And after the game, the reporter came up to him and said this. He says, "How does it feel to be the guy who scored 1 point and on a team that Michael Jordan scored 69? He says, "Well, I'll tell you this. When I get older, I'm going to tell my kids that Michael Jordan and I scored 70 points in a playoff game." Now listen, and what I want to share about this is, if you're here last week, you're going to realize that when God's in your corner, who can be against you? And here's what I want to understand. This is how it works mathematically. There are some days in life that you feel like, I'm trying hard, I'm just scoring 1 point at a time. Listen, you serve a God that even though you score 1 point, you combine for 70 points. Because it's not in our power, it's because in his almightiness that he helps us through this. Anybody's ever felt this way before? And you're just trudging along and you're saying, "I just feel like I can't muster this." And all of a sudden God carries you because on his team, he's gonna score more points than you. We just wanna be part of what God is doing. And that's how it works. So it's interesting with us is saying, if God is for you, who can be against you? So the question is, what if we blank? What if we? What if I? What if we? And so the question I have today is, what if we didn't live in fear? What if we didn't walk in fear? Because what if I walked in faith and not in fear? So today, I'm just going to be frankly honest with you. This was supposed to be one sermon. And I probably read about 3 or 4 books on this over the last 3 weeks to get ready for this sermon. And as I'm preparing for this, it turned into part 1 and part 2. So next week, when you come next week, I'm going to talk about how to release faith in your life. And listen to this, you got to hear me out on this. We're going to talk about how to get past your feelings and be a person of faith. Because if we all understand, we base too much on the way we feel and not what is on truth. I'm not saying throw away your feelings. I'm just saying we've really got to be careful about faith. And Steve Furtick, who's a pastor, said this. He says, "God wants to set you free from your need to feel faith in order to have it." Let me repeat that again. God wants to set you free from your need to feel faith in order to have it. God wants us to be people who walk in faith. And the problem with walking in faith is this, is that either you're going to walk in faith or you're going to walk in fear, but it's hard to walk in both. It's almost impossible. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be scared or anything. I'm just saying, listen, when I say walking in fear, I'm saying, is the decisions in your life you're making based upon your faith and relationship with Jesus Christ, or is it based upon the fear of the what-ifs you have in your life? Now, I'm just going to preface this by saying there are certain, in Scripture talks about fear God, and you know what I'm saying, it's okay to have a reverence fear. Does that make any sense? And it's okay to know, like, if there's a log, and I saw a snake go in this log, in this hole, it's okay to fear to put my hand in. Does that make any sense? And so there's certain kind of fears that's okay, but what I'm saying here is this, here's the hard part for me. There are so many decisions that we make that cripples us because of fear. Yesterday on Facebook, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm just going to share a little bit of these because this is why I wanted to share this. On Facebook yesterday, I posted this question. What has fear taken or stolen from you? Think about that. What has fear taken or stolen from you? And these are a few of the comments, and I'm not even going to read the messages I got. But here's a few things. One person said, it's stolen my peace and ability to enjoy moments of time. Being consumed with fear has prevented me from enjoying precious memories and people because I've been distracted by fear. Because of fear, I've held back many conversations because of all of a sudden I thought, what if they don't get it? What if they think I'm crazy? What if they don't accept me at all? So I'll keep the conversation surface because it's safe. Because of fear, I've lost and stolen friends, peace of mind, and fear has stolen my joy. Because of fear, fear has kept me from living in the moment, going full force into freedom and passion to do. I know what God is doing in my heart. God has overcome so much of fear, but I'm so thankful for it, but there's many more fears. This one person said, I have gone through a season of anxiety recently after 2 miscarriages and a preemie baby. The thought of my family getting hurt or dying is on my mind a lot, and I have to actively fight it. My mind wanders, and I will not shut it down. I can't shut it down at night. I have to seek medical help and medication even. Sleep deprivation is awful. It's calming, but some of it is a real fear. Fear, my ability to love and live in the moment, that's what fear has stolen from me. It steals the present in my life. This person said, fear took my courage. Man. Another person wrote, even when there is a calm in a storm, I sometimes tend to fear the next big wave instead of resting in who God has given me peace and joy. And somebody wrote, after losing somebody very significant, I always go back in my mind of fear of losing another person in my life again. Even though I know God is beside each of them daily, it's hard for me to shake it because of fear. I'm telling you what fear does. Fear shrinks your world. Please write that down. Fear shrinks your world. Because of our fear, we are afraid to meet new people. We are afraid to step out in faith. We are afraid to believe in the more. We are afraid to do what God has called us to do. We are afraid to have conversations. We are afraid. And so we miss out on so much because of fear. And I think in my own life, listen, I'm not going to sit here and talk about fear without my own. I fear, and that's just me being honest. Now listen, as a pastor, I'm telling you, this is a hard thing for me. And I have to do it, and I force myself to do it at times. I fear at times totally surrendering to the will of the Lord. Anybody else with me on this one? Because you know why? I like my life the way it is. And I fear, now I do it, but every time I surrender and I have to lay down the things I love, I have to totally trust that he wants the best for me. And I'm not saying I don't do it, it just takes me a long time to do it. He might say, lay this down. I'm like, oh. You know what else is hard? It's having tough conversations. I hate walking on eggshells. Fear of just saying, what's going to happen to this conversation? So many people have this worst case mindset. As soon as you get a phone call saying, uh-oh, what do they want? You know what I'm saying? Why am I getting called in the office? And so this whole thing. We all face fears. And so if I can just have everybody stand up this morning, we're going to go into scripture this morning. And I'm going to read scripture. And here's my prayer as we read this. We're listening to that song we're worshiping this morning to, There's None Like You. And as I was listening to that song, I just said, my prayer was, Lord, there is people in this room who are literally afraid of death. Death haunts you. So my prayer this morning was, God, free us of that fear of death. There's some people in this room right now who are literally afraid to age. You are afraid because you know as your body gets older and things get different, you know you are literally afraid to age. Some people in this room are literally every single day you cannot stop looking at your bank account. All you do is text. And you are afraid of just financial overload in your life. Some of you, every single day you go to work, and you are afraid of your boss or maybe afraid of your employees, and there's this fear. You love Sundays and you love Saturdays because it's the weekend and you don't need to do anything with work. And all of a sudden you know that Monday's coming. And even as I talk about it right now, anxiety is building up within you. Some of you are just so afraid about your own kids. There is a fear. We're going to talk about this today. We have my cousin who is a counselor. She says this, anxiety, of course, a lot of it's medical, but some of it's just mental too. She says anxiety is either worrying too much about the past or worrying too much about the future and not being present. It's interesting for us, and I'm telling you, a lot of these things in the next few weeks, I'm telling you, it's not just a day, it's not just Sunday we got to surrender. It's a daily thing that we need to surrender and give this to the Lord. You guys with me? Listen, I was nervous this morning because I'm going, this is not going to be fluffy. And so let's read scripture this morning. Mark 4, 35 through 41 says this. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And this is talking about Jesus. And a great windstorm came. So Jesus is in a boat with the disciples. And I've shared about this before, but I'm going to share this again. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat. So that was already filling. So the water was coming in. But he was in the stern, asleep. Think about that. Storm is going on. Jesus is sleeping right where you want him, right? How many are facing storms right now and you just feel like God is silent? You're like, dude, where are you at? Are you sleeping? Now, so Jesus is sleeping. And they woke him up and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Right? I mean, you're about ready to go under and you're like, and you're taking a siesta? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, this is what I love, listen to this, to the problem, which is the ocean and to the wind, he said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, now listen, he rebuked the storm, and then he pretty much rebuked the disciples. Because don't you all understand, when somebody wakes you up, you got to rebuke them, right? Anybody hate that when people wake you up? My wife wakes me up, I just kind of jump in. And then he said to them, why are you so, what? Fearful. How is it that you have no? What are we talking about today? Fear and faith. And they feared exceedingly. And now, this was funny. Their fear now went from the storm to Jesus. Because they said, who can do this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. They had a mind shift change that went from, God, the problems are big, and they went from the problems are big to now our God is bigger than the problems. They went from going, I'm going to fear my problems to like, dude, I'm going to have a reverence fear for this guy. Isn't that funny? It changed. And he says, but Jesus never said, you imbeciles. He says, why are you afraid? And he says, why do you fear? And this is the promise I'm telling you. This is going to be through the whole sermon today. He said, why do you fear? Because the story doesn't end with me going down in a ship. And as long as I'm with you, we're going to be sailing together. That is the promise. That's exactly what I said last week, because the promise is I am with you. And if we're in a storm, as long as we're together, we're okay. If God is for us and if God is with us, then who can be against us? Not even a storm. Lord, I pray right now for this morning. I pray for this church of believers. And Lord, it's not just about, oh, Lord, are we called to be with you? But Lord, are we walking in faith towards you? And Lord, I just pray that in this room, Lord, where there has been fear of death, fear of the past, fear of shame, fear of the guilt, Lord, these fears of stepping out, Lord, a fear if we're doing it wrong, if we're not doing it right, the fear, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, help us to be people of faith in Jesus' name, amen. Grab a seat this morning, and that's kind of my intro, but I'm going to jump into this, and here's what I want you to understand. The storms in your life are, storms are not an option, but fear it is. Let me repeat that. Storms are not an option, but fear is. If you were here the first time I preached the first day of the new year, I said, my prophetic word for you is this. You're going to face problems and you're going to face storms. Naturally, tough times in life is going to come. So here's what we got to realize, though. The option is not a storm's not going to come. Storms are going to come, but the option is, are you going to be afraid? And so you're going to have fear. Problems and storms will come. But I think what's interesting is it says in Scripture, over 300 times it says in Scripture, do not fear. And people think that, my wife and I love talking about this, because when it says do not fear, it's not really saying an option or saying maybe you shouldn't fear. It's pretty much stated as a command. It's interesting because when you look at Scripture, it's stated as a command saying, do not be afraid, do not fear. And don't let these things play mind tricks on you. And so the question, a few things I want to say is this. What is fear? And you're going to get up on the screen, what is fear? And I think they call those acronyms. Is that what they call them? The letters. And so fear, if you look at the letters, it means false expectations appearing real. It's false things that we project that appear real. For instance, anybody in here have a boogeyman living in their closet? Raise your hand. Nobody does. Isn't that funny? But as a kid, or maybe as an adult still, you literally project things because when it gets dark, your mind starts doing tricks on you. It's this false advertisement. What it is, like I said before, it's false expectations appearing real. It's not there. I heard a quote that says, fear gives weight to things that don't deserve it. What fear does is make things bigger. And I think of fear like I think of like a shadow on a wall. You might see a little bug right down there, but when the right light's on, it's going to appear big on your wall. What fear does is it appears bigger than what it really is. Now, I'm not saying if you have a phobia, I'm not saying you're making this stuff up. There is true phobias, and there's true things that are scared. I know people who were still are scared of spiders and snakes and the dark and all this kind of stuff. But I'm also talking about just the daily fears that we have. So if that's fear, then what is faith? Faith is the exact opposite. Faith, defined, is to hope for things which are not seen, but which are true. And I'm going to hit more on that next week. The truth must be centered into Jesus Christ. To have confidence in God and his word is faith. To trust, to step out, to believe without seeing. Smith Wigglesworth, a famous, person who was did a lot of healings back in the day. He says, fear looks and faith jumps. Fear just looks around, but faith takes action. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So just like fear sometimes is seen or not seen, faith is something that's unseen that we step on our face. So every Christian has faith. And I want to make sure we say this. It says in Romans 12:3, it says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you. In other verses, it actually says that God has given you, that God has given you faith. So those who call themselves Christians, you have the spiritual faith is in you. Let's go to the next week. Even when you don't feel it at times. He says, in every person, I have given a measurement of faith. And he says, so that means God has already given you the faith you need for the situation that you're in right now. Can I repeat that? God is giving you the faith that you need in the situation that you're in right now. And people say all the time, well, where's that faith? Because here it is. When you feed your fears, your faith will starve. And when you feed your faith, your fears will starve. I repeat that. Feed your fears and your faith will starve. When you feed your faith, your fears will starve. Faith is a muscle. I put a picture up here of my muscle. You can see this when I put it up. This is mine. You all laugh. Thanks, guys. That's awesome. Makes me feel so much better. But here's what's interesting is that faith is a muscle. And I'm not saying it's a literal muscle in your body, but I'm saying it works like a muscle because it just like when people work out, here's what's interesting. When you use weights, the amount of tension that you have on a weight is the amount of muscle that grows. Does that make sense? Now, if all you're doing is lifting paper, are you going to grow much muscle? Probably not, because there's no weight to it. But the more weight that you add to it, the more your muscle will build. Is this not true? The more tension and pressure, and listen, the more resistance you have, the more that muscle will grow. Those people who go through just an easy life and they're wondering why they have no faith, and I'm like, listen, it's within tension and resistance that your faith will grow. And now there's a simple word out there called atrophy. Anybody know what atrophy is? It's when some people who are paralyzed or in comas and or whatever, and they're just sitting in the same spot, your muscles begin to atrophy, which means when they're not used, they shrink up. When they're not used, you actually lose that mass. And so what you need some movement, resistance, and some strength to build those muscles from atrophy to working out muscles. You guys all with me? I believe a lot of the church, and when I say this, it's big church as a whole, not Watermark, church as a whole, a lot of people in churches have spiritual faith atrophy. Because we are not working the muscles of faith because we're more working on fear and faith, and we're wondering why our faith is not working. And we wonder, well, I don't see miracle. I don't see this. I don't see this happening. And I keep on wondering, we work in this thing. So and we work out our muscles and the harder resistance. And so this is what I want to talk to us about today. This is kind of the intro, but I this is where I need us to be honest. You're either going to be a person of faith who walks in faith, or you're going to be a person who walks in fear. Here's what I'm nervous about. I'm nervous as parents. When I was growing up, anybody remember, this is what your parents would say to you. Hey, I'm going to go to work, and just make sure, you can do whatever you want, just make sure you're home before dark. You remember those days? Dude, I would never let my kids do that. Right? All the parents in the room say, no way. Like to tell them, and here's the deal. And I'm not trying to condone that you should do it. I'm just saying, and listen, I'm not saying we got to be careful. I'm not saying we should go down this road. But it's interesting how generations go, how our fences become smaller and smaller and smaller. So my question is this. When my son Sawyer is a father, what's going to happen to him when his kids? Don't leave the house. Stay in the house. Think about this for a second. And the reason I say this is because I wonder how many times we make decisions based upon just the nervousness and scared. So many nervous parents, and I agree we need to protect our kids and build safe, but here is a question we need to ask. And here's a question. If you're a parent or anybody, just write this down. Is our fear holding back my kids from opportunities God has for them and with them? I'll give you a for instance. My son wants to go to summer camp. That means he's going to be gone at Bible camp for 5 days. Now, there's some days I just want to go, hey, yeah, get out of the house for 5 days, go do something. But deep down in me, I just go, what's going to happen to him? Is he going to get into something he shouldn't get into? Is he going to have enough food? He's really picky when he eats. Should he even go? Should he wait for another year? Should he not go? Should he not do this? And I don't verbalize it to my wife because she'll be anxious too. But in my own mind, I start thinking, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then it just dawns on me. The truth hits me. He's going to go to a Bible camp. And I know you can do bad things at Bible camp. Trust me, I've been there. Right? But here's a part of me that makes me go, but if he doesn't go, is my fear going to hold him back from missing an opportunity to be in the Lord's presence by himself? I think about this a lot lately. What my fears are holding back. Next question I have is this. As parents, are we teaching our kids to live in fear or to walk in faith? Now listen, as parents, as leaders, even as business owners or as employees or teachers or whatever you do or policemen or whatever, are you teaching the people that you're around, are you teaching them to live in fear or to walk in the faith? Because here's a leadership point for you. More is caught than taught. My son Sawyer chewed their nails. You know why? Because their dad did. I can tell him all day long, don't chew your nails. But you know what had it, you know how he got the habit? It's because of this guy. You know what I had to learn? Stop chewing my nails. Because more is caught than taught. I can tell him all day long not to do it. But listen, if I'm a parent who lives in fear and not walks in faith, I am teaching my kids to not walk in faith. Is this making sense? I look at this more and more and more. I'm projecting to my kids, not by what I say, but by how I live. And this is what makes me really nervous in our culture is we are saying things out loud and we pray things out loud, but we're living differently and we're teaching is different. And I think, what if we really are people who walked in faith? How would that look? What if we really stepped out in faith and just trusted the Lord with these things? And so they're going to take our habits. And it's interesting, I was just thinking about this. Jane and I walk in faith today because of this, because our parents did. I don't want to put our parents on a spot, but here we go. Jill, super. I call her super because she's super. And I think it's interesting because Jay and I were just talking about this yesterday. You are fearless. And think about that. You raising the kids and every time we say, you want to go on a mission trip? She's like, yeah, I'll go on a mission trip. Like, it's not any question. Sleeping on floors, you know what I'm saying? Going through life. Fearless. You love a new adventure. You love going places. You love going out. You love trying new things. That's fearless. You're at Emmanuel Christian Center at door one, right? For how many years? Let's just say 20 years, 15 years. Think about that. Same greeter at door number one. And all of a sudden, Jay and I said, we're going to plant a church in Stillwater. No questions asked. Hey, I'm going to come with you guys. We don't have people yet. That's okay. It's going to be awesome. Fearless. Jumping in for 30 for Freedom with Ben. Fearless. I think of my parents. I remember being raised in the Black Hills. And I'm telling you, anybody ever heard of Heart Ranch before? Heart Ranch Resort? If you haven't, it's pretty awesome. It's my parents helped build it and run it, and we lived on it. We had a pool, a miniature golf course. It was like my paradise, I'm telling you. And my parents, when I was in fifth grade, felt like it was time to go. They felt like the grace has released, and but God didn't tell them where. They just felt like it was time to go. And so they went to all the kids, and they told all the kids except for me. And all the kids were saying, yeah, it's time to go. And they said, the last person is Jarvis, because he's in fifth grade. And this is what they said. They said, well, if Jarvis, because he loves it here so much, if Jarvis were to come home someday and just say it's time to leave, then maybe it's God's way of showing us we should move on. So they're putting their stock into a fifth grader who all he does is play with Micro Machines and G.I. Joes at this time. I come home from school one day, and I'm living in my paradise, and I don't know what even happened that day. And I walked in my parents, a few weeks later, I walked in my parents' house, and I just said, you know what? I feel like it's time to move. And boom, just like that, was it the next weekend? I think it was that weekend or the next weekend. I'm not even kidding you. We drove out to Wilmer, Minnesota, because my parents heard about stuff going out there. So we drove out there. We found a place. We drove out from Black Hills to Wilmer in the Halloween snowstorm in a U-Haul truck with no jobs and a place to live. Think about this. And then, of course, just like Jill decided to, I'm going to leave this without even a second thought. I'm going to leave my church. I'm going to leave where I made home and make a new home in Watermark. Just like my parents were in Wilmer, after making a sacrifice, making their home there, they're like, we're going to come here and make our new home here. Do you know why? Now listen, starting a church and leaving Brainerd coming here, it was hard. But you know what's also hard? When we got a call to go to Brainerd from Minneapolis, because our family, Jane's family, was here. She's never lived out of Minneapolis. So to go to Brainerd, that was a step of faith for us. Do you know how we were able to do steps of faith that don't seem logical? It's because our parents took steps of faith that don't seem logical. It's interesting because, listen, more caught is taught than taught. And you think about it this way, you know, and when I'm praying for our, as we talk about this, I want to teach my own kids this. Be bold, be courageous, be confident, and be full of faith, not full of fear. Is there any parent in here, any person that says, I want my kids to live in fear? No. We just say we want people to live in faith. And I think as parents, we lead the charge. So I ask you again, fear takes, what was fear is stolen and taken from you. Fear is running away from something, and faith is stepping towards and running towards something. Listen, fear is running away from something, but faith is running towards something. It's interesting because Jesus said to his disciples, he said this, he says, in verse 40, he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? A storm comes, and I'm in a boat with you, and they feared exceedingly. And he says, why do you have no faith? Where's your faith at? Storm comes, and all of a sudden, we want to just wake up Jesus and say, what's going on? Why are you sleeping? We're up. We're scared. We're nervous. Our world's falling apart. We're about ready to crash. We're about ready to, the water's coming in. We're sinking. We're drowning. Where are you at? The irony is they know where Jesus is at. He was right where he started at. And all of a sudden, can you imagine being the guy that pulls a small straw and has to go wake up Jesus? Can you imagine that? And all of a sudden, he goes and wakes up Jesus and says, look at this. He wakes up and he says, peace be still, calms the storm, calms the craziness in the life. And he rebukes the disciples saying, why do you have fear and where's your faith? Don't you understand we're in this together and I'm not going to let this end this way? Wouldn't it have been better as disciples to say, I trust this guy, I trust this situation, we're going to ride this out, we're going to make it till the end, we're going to hold fast, just hold on to someplace in the boat, and as long as we're with Jesus, we're going to make it. But instead, they shook him up, and they said, I don't think we're going to make it, because the fear of the storm overtook the love and the faith they have in their own heart. fear overcame their faith. And they lost their faith. Listen, I'm not saying they lost their walk with the Lord. They just lost their faith in that moment because their fear overwhelmed them. Their fear came in. They let their faith be great. I mean, let their fear be greater than their faith. It's interesting. I'm turning 38 years old this year. 38 years young. We've been married for something between 10 and 14 years. Right? Is that right range? We built a home. I'm not saying this to brag. We built a home with a few friends from scratch, remodeled a home. We stepped out of faith, left our family, moved to Brainerd, moved from Stillwater to here to do a church plant. And I'm praying and teaching our kids to take steps of faith. Listen, if you can build a house with your wife, you can do anything with your wife, right? If you can remodel a house, dude, nothing's going to hold you back. But here's what I look at all this stuff, and I keep on thinking, when we left Brainerd, we had to leave their friends, the kids' friends. Birthday parties, friends, everything. And I kept on thinking to myself, I hope this doesn't hurt my kids. There's so many pictures I've taken over the last 4 years of watching my kids push carts down the hallway, taking down and eating all the donuts here. And those coffee creamers, my son downs those all the time. But I think about the birthday parties, and I think about houses and life groups, and I think about all the things in JBQ and camps. And I look back and I think about all the things they would have missed out on if we never stepped out in faith. This morning, as people are walking in, I'm greeting people. I'm looking at the faces, and here's a thought that keeps on hitting me all day. We probably would have never met you if we never stepped out in faith. And it makes me wonder how many of your people would never have met each other if somebody didn't step out in faith. How many people in your own life would not have came if someone didn't step out of faith? Warlands, you came because the booze invited you to come to Fall Fest, right? You know what I'm saying? We heard from Carol and Don. They were invited because they went to a Bible study and people were saying, why don't you come to a church? And you know what I'm saying? People stepped out of faith. Now look at our own lives and think about how many things that we don't do because of faith. And so many times we're defined by our fear and we're not defined by our faith. Can I just ask you that question? How many of you call yourselves believers, if you look at your life and the decisions that you make, are you defined by your fear more than you're defined by your faith? Our natural tendency is to pull back when God wants us to step out. To fear wants us to hide when God wants us to be honest. Fear wants us to stay in the boat, and faith wants us to walk on water. Fear wants us to run from something, and faith wants us to run towards someone. 1 John 4:18 says this, and if I can get the worship team up here, we're going to go back in that psalm, There's None Like You, because I just love that song, and there's something sweet about it this morning. But 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love. Isn't that awesome? There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love expels fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. I was with a church planting friend about 2 weeks ago, and he said this to me. And when he said this to me, it resonated so deep in my heart, and I can't get it out. And here's what it says. He said to me, he says, he told one of his church people on Sunday morning who came from a really hard lifestyle. This is what he said to him. He says, Jesus never quits on you. Jesus never quits on you. Adam, I see you walk in here. Adam, yeah, there he is. Hi, Adam. Can I just share your brief testimony? When you got water baptized, one of the coolest things, they're both of them had a great baptism, just a great things they said. But I was just thinking about this past week as I prepared for this. I don't remember how you exactly said it, but you're saying about your faith. It was that God has always been faithful with you, so you might as well return the favor and be faithful with him. Something like that, right? Is that pretty close? I might have butchered it. But it's interesting because God is faithful. God doesn't quit on us. I look over some of these scenes on Facebook last night, and it broke my heart. How Satan literally, with fear, has put the lid on so many people. They can't sleep. They can't make friends. They can't have joy. They don't have courage. They can't hold relationships. They're afraid of commitment. You're afraid to surrender to the Lord. You're afraid to give up of your past. You're afraid to be excited about the future. Afraid of just death. I feel like the Holy Spirit's can I just talk to you guys for a second? There's been death in your family. And it's so easy to be reminded of, and I know Michelle's up there too, over here. There's been death in family over the years. And Satan has stolen a lot of things. But can I remind you of this? There's also been life in your family. And when I picture your family, it's not a dead family tree. It's a growing, vibrant family tree. It's not dead. It's alive. And if you can get through that, you can get through anything. And what's amazing is when you hear the stories of people who've been through death in their family, you know what they do? They help other families go through death. When you lose a loved one, when your kid gets diagnosed with something, and you go through this pain and hurt, and you just wonder why this all happened, and we think of the death, and I'm thinking, listen, when Satan reminds you of death, remind him of the life that God has given you. Remind him of the things that God is doing within you. This is the truth. Because Satan just wants to pull us down. It's interesting in life. I got this picture, I don't know why, but I was down in New Orleans a few years ago, and there was a crab bucket. Anybody ever been crabbing before? There's a crab bucket, and they never put lids on crab buckets. Anybody want to know why? Because as soon as a crab wants to get out, another crab pulls him back down. That's why they call people crabby. Just kidding, I just made that up. But I'm telling you, as soon as you guys start rising up, it feels like someone's pulling you back down and pulling you back down. And I'm thinking that's where you just need to, instead of just running and running away and saying, I'm not going to trust this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go down. And God says, listen, stop running the wrong direction. Stop running that way and start running towards the cross. Some people are just trying to beat their sin and past, and they're trying to run. I'm telling you, the best thing you can do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. Because I'm telling you, if you're walking towards dumbness and sin and stupidity and things this way and fear this way, and when you turn around and you start walking towards the cross and you start walking in faith this way, you're already walking away from fear. Because when you walk towards faith, you're walking away from fear. People are saying, how do I get away from fear? Because here's how you do. You let your faith be greater than fear. You spend more time with your faith. You spend more time walking. You spend more time marching. You spend more time trusting the Lord, even when you don't feel like it. You just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. I don't get it. I don't get why there's death. I don't get why there's cancer. I don't get this stuff. But it's not my job to figure it out. It's my job to trust and to walk in faith and to lead my family, to lead the church and trust the Lord and be people who are full of faith, confidence, boldness, and courage, and joy, and peace. Because peace is not found in a storm. Peace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you're in the boat with Jesus, there is perfect peace. And I don't care what's around you. And this is how it works. People say, well, I don't know. I'm telling you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But just stand up this morning. Listen, there needs to be a lid that comes off. Terry's never mentioned this to me. I don't know why I'm even thinking, but when I was watching your video, I kept on thinking, I can't imagine kids for 2 years and wondering, when are they going to be taken from me? That's fear. But, I mean, it's legitimate. I mean, it happened. But can I just tell you what's cool about our story? The worst case scenario happened. And then the best case scenario came. And they finally got all adopted. Worst case scenario, lost my kids. Within a year, best case scenario, I got my family. And this is how the Lord works.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the series, What If?